This is the second tape of an interview between Alyssa Nielsen and Edith Taylor, and it's conducted on Friday, November 18th, 2005, in her home in Victoria. And we were just in the middle of a story, and we just thought that we should finish up the story before we ended the interview.
Okay, so Ken was welding on his truck, and it exploded. We were in the yard, and the children were all there, even some neighbor's children as well. The explosion was heard 2 miles away. It was a tanker truck, you see. He was hauling, they were doing oil wells in our region, and he was hauling the salt water from the wells and pumping it down a dry hole. So he was doing this with his tanker truck, and he was between the tank and the cab of the truck. And that morning, this is, I believe in fate. I have to look at it that way to handle my deaths, the deaths in my family. It has to believe in fate. That, you see, they weren't sick or anything. They just were taken from me. My son, who was 18 at the time, 17 at the time, his dad and he had a discussion. I wanted my garden ploughed ready for seeding. And so Ken and Brian had discussed who would do which. Brian said, well, maybe I should weld the truck and you should do the garden. So his dad says, no, where I need the welding done, I think I will do it. You can do the garden for me. And so, okay. So just before that, I had asked Ken if he would mend my hose, because I used to water the row and then put the seed on. And I said, it's leaking somewhere. So Ken said, okay, I'll fix the hose for you. So I was washing the dishes, and he beckoned me to come to the door, to the back door. This is my last memory of Ken. This is my very last memory of Ken. I opened the back door, and he sprayed me with the hose. He just sprayed me all over, laughing his head off. And he says, there, what's wrong with that? I fixed it for you. Oh, okay. And that was my last memory of him laughing like me, soaking me with this hose. And Brian was doing the garden when this explosion happened. And I was in the house, still doing the dishes, and all hell broke loose. After an explosion like that, there is a dead silence. There is a vacuum, a dead silence. And then all of a sudden, the children came down from the loft in the welding shed that they had been. They'd been looking for kittens. Mama Cat had some more kittens. And after this vacuum, then the children all started to scream and come running. And they'd heard it up at the gas plant. We had a gas plant a half a mile up the road, and they'd heard it. And everything started to move then. And I was in the house, and Brian came, and I said, so what's happened? And he said, the truck exploded. I said, well, where's Ken? He said, no, I can't see. And so then they came down from the gas plant, these men all in the big trucks and everything, and they said, take her away. So they took me into Merthyr to be with some friends in Merthyr, Brian did. And I never saw Ken. Evidently, he was spreading blood against the back of this truck. I never saw him again. My memory is of him spraying me with water and laughing.
Well, that's a lovely last
it
memory.
It is. And then 2 years later, you see, my 19-year-old son was killed on the highway, which I just put it down to fate because he was just killed. And then the same with Marie. She died for no reason. It must be fate. God needs them. God just needs them.
So, could you describe the experience of living as a widow, a very young widow at 47?
Well, what happened was, I decided that I couldn't farm by myself. And I'd asked Brian and everything. He thought he did at first want to stay on the farm, and then decided that it would be too much for for a 19-year-old to do it himself.
And he was your eldest son.
Somebody had said to me about going through this government thing to get back into school again, to get a job. So I decided that I didn't want to farm by myself or with Kevin. I wasn't good enough at it, and he was still talking about it. So anyway, I found out about this course, this class, which was in Edmonton. So a neighbour said, could he rent the farm for that year while I went to Edmonton to find out what I wanted to do. So a neighbour came and rented the farm that year, and to see what I was going to do, I moved into Edmonton, into a townhouse, and went to school. The children, I found them school, because Marie and Kevin were still small, you see. Kevin was only 6 when his dad was killed. Marie was 11, so I had them to look after for a long time. So, and I passed my schooling with an average of 93%, which was good. Just my typing was slow, but I got enough to pass with. I'd never typed in my life before, but you have to do this with this course. I'd done very well. I got 96% in spelling and 93% in math, and I think it was 90% in English and things like that. But it was the typing. But I made it. I made 65 just to get through this course. Then a neighbour that had been my neighbour on the farm that had left quite a few years. The lady I went to after my fire had moved to Victoria. So she says, come Edith, come and see us in Victoria and see if you like it here. And she said, wait till the school. This happened all in May. Ken was killed. My school finished at the end of the next May. I went from beginning of November until the tests in June, beginning of June. So she says, when the children have finished school, come and visit us. So I came to visit, and when I did, she said, you leave the children here, go back and finish up what you want to do with the farm, sell it, probably Mr. Purchase will buy it, and you'll get rid of all that and get it all sorted out and set it, and come back here and we'll get you, found your house and get a job, which she did. She and her husband went around and got a house on Redfern Street on Bay Border, and the children went to school there, and I went to work for the government.
So that's how you moved to Victoria. Mm-hmm.
And she said, we used to ask Ken to bring you for a visit, and he said, if I ever take Edith to Victoria, I'll never get her home again, because it's just like England, you know. And she says, I won't take her, I'll never get her home again. Elsie told me that, so that's how that worked.
Wow, sounds like you've had a lovely life, full of tragedy and full of
everything.
Beautiful, beautiful experiences.
Everything, yes.
Those are all the questions that I have for you. Is there anything else that you wanted to add?
I can't think of anything. Can you?
No, I think that's good. You speak very eloquently. Yeah.
So, I have a little garden at the back here.
Oh, yeah.
In this thing. I have a garden here, which everybody likes. And I have a veggie garden at the back, so that I supply myself with veggies. You see, I'm known to farm. And on the farm, and I grow scarlet runner beans, and I grow broccoli, and rhubarb, and my own lettuce, radishes, and onions, which I can't eat my salad right now. Mm-hmm. I can't chew it, I can't eat my mouth, I can't eat myself. But I grow my own garden. See my rosary?
Mm-hmm.
I just pick things in the day.
Well, thank you very much for answering my questions. I'm just going to turn this off.
Okay.